Gospel reading, the writer of Matthew has pulled together a loosely associated series of teachings with the general theme of getting along as a community of faith. There is a confidence in this reading that, in the Spirit, we have what we need to live in community together. There may be bumpy times, even really rough patches, but how we are together matters, and God is in our midst. Reading from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there amongst them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Your bulletin is wrong. Made a few little adjustments so in the last part of the week. And I want you to invite you to listen for the Spirit, not only in the Scriptures, but as it comes to us in the songs of our faith. And this song is a prayer. It's a prayer that we would experience the presence of that one who is among us and experience it in tangible ways as we gather.
Thank you.
you join me in prayer? Holy One, we pray that right now you would take us as we are and summon out what we might be. Take the words offered and received here and let them be a part of your great creative work of love and healing in our lives, in our community, and in the world. Amen. So people keep asking me in passing or in a moment, so how was your sabbatical? And I find myself trying to sum up 4 months of relationships, of activities, of encounters, of experiences, of reflections in about 2 sentences. And it's not possible. It's not even possible to do that in one sermon. But of course, the question is asked out of genuine desire to reconnect and to know, how is it with you now? And that's lovely. So, thank you. The sabbatical was fine. You'll get more, trust me, in probably little bits and pieces until you say, enough of the, when I was on sabbatical, yeah. I'll try not to be a broken record. However, I mean, the purpose of a sabbatical, as somebody this morning reminded me, it was beautiful, is to step back, to get some rest, some distance from the everyday demands of ministry, and to reconnect with that deep source of strength and purpose and faith that is really at the heart of all good ministry. It's to sink deep into the source of life, my life, and our life, and really all life. It is to take time to remember who we are and who's with us as a soul and as a community of souls. Because it is possible to forget. It's possible for all of us, myself included, to lose touch. It is possible in the midst of change and struggle and even success and joyful times to forget who's here with us, among us, in us. Who is it that we depend on really? It is possible in life, frankly, to lose faith. Oh, we can keep doing the things we're doing in the life of faith, but it's possible in that place in the heart where that faith actually connects to disconnect over time. So the sabbatical is that time of deep connection. And then as I come back, we hear the words of Jesus speaking directly to a time of conflict, a hard situation, the kind of situation that makes us vulnerable to that deep disconnection that's possible. That's a time when it's more likely we forget. And he says, well, if you're in one of those times, if you're in a conflict with your brother or sister in the church, you need to go to them directly, and you need to hash it out. If that works, look at that. You just gained back a brother or a sister. How about that? If it doesn't work, take somebody with you, somebody you trust. Try and hash it out. And if that doesn't work, well, gather with the whole community and try and work it through. And if that doesn't work well, you know, this is humanity we're talking about, and it doesn't always work. But if it works, you have been reconciled And that is a precious thing. And then he goes on. He says, because that work of reconciliation, that coming together, that connecting with one another really matters. He says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you do here has bigger significance. Whenever I hear the Bible talking about heaven, I got to tell you, I don't think of a place. But I do think of a realm, the spiritual realm, the activity of the Spirit in this place and beyond. So what you bind in the tangible, emotional, mental world of this that you live in ripples spiritually through everything. And that's what he's saying. What we do in this moment matters because it has spiritual, eternal, if you will, significance. So pay attention to this in all of its details because it matters. Now, I know in some ways that's kind of intimidating. You know, how you chose what to eat for breakfast has eternal significance. Well, not really that. But, you know, every little thing counts can be kind of intimidating. Oh, dear. And it can be immobilizing. So he goes on to say, and when you get together, when two or three of you are together, I'm there. I'm with you. Doesn't need to be intimidating. It can be scary, but you're not alone in it. I'm right there among you. I don't know how you take that, but to me that is incredibly reassuring because in some ways, there's nothing I can do about the conflict I end up in. In many ways, they just happen. But to know that when they happen, and they will, we have a companion. Someone with whom we can handle it. That's hugely reassuring. A companion of eternal strength and wisdom upon whom we can rely. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about what we face and what we've gone through in the last, say, 4 months, as I mean, I don't know the details of what you've gone through because I've missed you there. Know some, but as a collective, thinking about those 4 months, man, we're good at conflict. Michael Enright, on my way to church this morning, was talking about it a little bit. What a dazzling array of brokenness. In the last 4 months, I was counting it in my mind because Jesus talks about conflict. So I was thinking, what about conflict? Wow. Things are completely off the rails in the Ukraine. The Syrian people have gone through a hell that I can't even really fully imagine, including unprecedented use of chemical warfare on their own people. The emergence of ISIS, an Islamist group which has no compunction about mass killing, none at all. Ever-deepening cycles of tit-for-tat in Israel and Palestine with no sign of letting up. Conflict in Fergus, Missouri, rooted in long-standing alienation based on race, still. And frankly, close to home, I get home and wondered all summer whether the BCTF and the government would manage to make it work before it was time to go back to school. Such a classic example of how not to resolve conflict. How to dig in and hunker down. Finding resolution, much less restoration of relationship, is what Jesus is talking about. Well, that's a hard task. And I dare say none of you are responsible for any of those big conflicts. I don't think so. But this is the world we live in, and that's what we have to deal with. We live in conflicted times. And in these kinds of times, human beings can get vulnerable to forgetfulness. Forget the one who's right there in the middle of it. You see the ghastliness of what's going on in Syria. What you don't see is that the Holy One is in the midst of it. Chooses to be there. Chooses to be in the midst of, on the line between Palestine and Israel. Chooses to set up shop in the midst of the conflicts you are in or I am in. And what we as people of faith and followers of Jesus bring to those, to our view of those situations, is that gospel proclamation. What we're doing here really matters, and God is in the midst of it. There's a song that helps me in this process of remembering. A song that helps me to come back to faith when in the midst of conflict you kind of get shaken and you kind of forget. We usually only ever sing it in the evening, but we got to sing it more often because it speaks so much directly to that places of conflict in our hearts and in our relationships and in this world, and proclaims the promise, I am there. It speaks of tough times, of the ways that those tough times can pull us apart. It speaks of an even deeper truth that God is found within those very times and places. In the quiet curve of evening, in the sinking of the days, in the silky void of darkness, I am there, says God. In the devastation of displaced Syrian families, in the rubble of a Palestinian school, in the conflict-strewn streets of Ferguson, I am there. In the conflicts within our families, in the marriages that fall apart, in the teenage years, at the seemingly locked-down negotiation tables and on the picket lines, I am there. And we proclaim as people of faith, God is there. As followers of the one who said, where two or three are gathered, I am there. Thank you, and help us never forget it. I invite you to stay seated as we sing together.